Blog Talk Radio.
Sports Radio, I'm trying. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk, man. They want me to, like, make sure I take off this blazer and loosen up my tie. But welcome to the cookout, man. We outside with this one, man. The grill is all set. Got a lot of interesting stuff to jump into. And I only know it's right. Thank you to everybody that's out there listening across the world, giving us the good numbers that we see on a daily basis. But I know they've been listening to us somewhere in the professional ranks. So we'll get into that, man. I'm feeling some type of way. Karma, please leave me alone. I don't want no parts of you, Karma. Believe me, I know my role. I'm going to keep my hands on the car. I will not talk any junk. Karma, I believe in you, especially here in this kitchen. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Welcome to the cookout, people.
Life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison blowing connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. With these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise it wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
I wanted y'all to get every last bit of how that song goes down. Wait until the sun goes down. We going to make this joint light up. I'm telling you, and like I said, Karma, I apologize for whatever wrongdoing I've ever done. If I talk any junk up until this point, I'm taking it all back. Please, let's let bygones be bygones. I'm going to say it from the top of the show, but on behalf of Sports Radio, thank you to everybody who's been checking us out, downloading us, and keeping these numbers right where they need to be. Thank you. I feel like we all blessed together. I can't say me. There's no me without we, so I got to do it. So let's get to the show as we best can, man. Calling in. Before I go any further, people, before I go any further, right? Of course, you know I got family out of Wisconsin that treats me real well. And by the way, people, she is a Packer fan, too, at that. My mom out there in Green Bay told her to give her a shout-out. So shout-out to Miss DeRocher. I do have to say hello. She said she's not feeling the best, but she wanted me to shout her out today on the show. So before I get started, I got to give her a shout-out. She's been promoting Sports City out there in Wisconsin, letting people know she got a son in Connecticut trying to do her thing. So thank you, Ms. DeRocher. I'm shouting you out. Feel better. She said she's not feeling good, but she wanted to hear me say something. So she's listening to us. But she's a Green Bay Packer fan, so I'm feeling some type of way. I know she's going to laugh and let me hear about it when I get off of air, though. But, Ms. DeRocher, you know I got you. I love you to death. Okay, so let's get into this show. Calling in by way of the state of South Carolina, the Brooklyn Knight himself, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Mr. Knight. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening? Okay, we might be having a little technical difficulty. Chela, are you available? Okay, if you can get back in here, Chela, let me know what's going on. I don't know what the technical difficulty may be, but we'll get this figured out. Let me get into a couple of topics. So, Sports City can fill in as best as we possibly can, man. I got a lot of topics to roll into till we get this technical difficulty situation figured out. I apologize for this little mishap, Sports City. I'm trying to do this on the fly. If you call in, press one, let me know that you're available to rock. Other than that, though, the first topic I do want to get into before people start to get here in the kitchen, I did want to relate a situation. Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me, Jalen?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you saying my name. I'm here, man.
Okay. How are you doing today? How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How's everything going? How's everybody? You were saying something about, is that a relative, friend of yours? Is it their birthday? Are they sick or something?
They're not feeling well, but they listened to us, and they wanted me to give them a shout-out, so I shouted them out. They're in Wisconsin, and they listened to us, and that's my family, my mom. You know, not my biological, but she treats me like a son, so I had to give her a shout-out. She wanted me to shout-out because she said she's not feeling well, but she is still listening to us in the midst of Wisconsin. So her name is Mrs. Lori DeRocher, and I had to give her a shout-out that we kicked the show. But I know she's listening. She's probably going to give me an earful. I probably didn't do it the way she wanted me to do it. But
DeRocher, we appreciate you listening. You know, we appreciate you listening from the frozen tundra, and we're going to do our best to put a smile on your face because, you know, laughter is the best medicine.
Right, and that was something I said last night to a friend of mine, because I've seen it was a clip on Charlie Murphy, and he was laughing. They put up like a meme video, you know, a meme video, and it said, what happens when 49er fans tell you that they're still going to finish over 500? And Charlie Murphy started cracking up laughing real hard, right? And I said, where will we be without laughter? Like, the emotion of laughter is just the best thing ever. Like, I there's a couple of things people could probably put in their mind without being, you know, colorful, if you will. But I think laughter is huge. And every time I see it, we share laughs and smile, so on and so forth. So we're going to do the best that we can. Chandler, before we, you know, start to go to the call line to get people in here, there was one topic I wanted to come to you as we set the cookout off. Your thoughts on the situation in Canada. That's right. I'm starting it off out of the country before we get into the thick of things in this cookout. Your thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays now. They are 11-0 since Troy Tulowitzki got to this team. They are virtually unstoppable right now and looking like they are trying to catch your Yankees in the AL East and basically fly by these guys as they do this. Your thoughts on Toronto? I think probably having the move of the trade deadline, I thought it, you know, we'll wait and see how Troy Tulowitzki turned out. I think that was probably the best move thus far. I mean, we had a perspective on it before, but they're on a double-digit streak since Tulowitzki got into that starting lineup.
It's the Toronto Blue Jays. Every team has win streaks, and every team's going to have lost streaks, which means they're due to start losing again. It's the Toronto Blue Jays. It's John Gibbons. It's Jose Bautista, who always gets hurt. It's Edwin Encarnacion, who always gets hurt. Oh, by the way, it's Troy Tulowitzki, who always gets hurt. They also have no pitching staff after David Price, which is why they went and got him. So I'm not concerned. I'm really not. I'm really not concerned. My concern, again, is this is the Yankees' division to lose. And if they don't get length from their starting pitching, they will lose the division and not make the playoffs at all. If the Yankees get any length from their starting pitching, I don't care what Toronto does. Toronto may make the playoffs as a wild card. They will not win the division. Troy Tulowitzki can't pitch. After David Price, the rest of that pitching staff is mediocre at best. At best. It truly is. So what are they going to do the other 4 days? You know, and by the way, in the playoffs, teams that hit a lot of home runs don't usually do well in the playoffs because you're usually facing aces every game.
Right. But looking at this right now, they're a game and a half behind the Yankees. You guys aren't, I mean, they're right there in your rear view. Like, and they just went into New York and swept the Yankees. So knowing that they went up against their division rival and did well, I mean, they don't really have to put forth much effort and more or less don't know who they're going to get it out of the lineup consistently. I think more or less these guys are trying to get it done across the board within their lineup. And you're right. I think the pitching is their Achilles heel in this situation. But as of now, their offense has actually been saving them up until this point. Right now, they have the same amount of wins. They're about three losses back, but a game and a half back in the standing situation. I'm impressed. I can't lie from what Toronto's been able to do, not only in the market and going out there picking up a big name in Price and a big name in Tulowitzki, but now the team is totally bought in, and it's more or less like a nothing-to-lose attitude, but now they're the scary team in the AL. Like people are looking at them like they don't want any parts. And who throws this streak up? I mean, things can happen today. They are at home up against Oakland and probably, well, they are the favorite at this point in time right now. But who's to say Oakland can't stop this? If not, if they end up continuing the streak up against Oakland, they're on a 12-game run if they win tonight. The last piece on the Toronto Blue Jays.
Say again, yeah, they're on a 12-game winning streak. I get all of that. I come back to the same thing. They've had to go on a 12-game winning streak just to get within two games. Huh? So all streaks come to an end. Just as you get hot, you get cold. This is baseball. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I get that everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. Feel free. Here's what I'm going to guarantee you. If the Yankees starting pitching averages six to seven innings a game for the rest of the season, the Toronto Blue Jays will not win the division. I will guarantee it. You can go ahead and record it, book it, do whatever you need to do, and then come see me in September.
Okay, but your pitching isn't the greatest either right now, just to say that now. They're not pitching off the charts to say something about the Yankees at them now.
Actually, the pitching has been fine. They got shut out 2-0, 6-0, 2-0. Okay. The starting pitching has been fine. They haven't hit because the hitting is going into a slump. You give up 2 runs, you're supposed to win a game. You give up 1 run, you're supposed to win a game. You give up 3 runs, you're supposed to win a game. The fact of the matter is Joe Girardi has turned into Joe Torre. Instead of allowing Jacoby Ellsbury and Brett Gardner and Chris Young to steal bases, create havoc, Didi Gregorius, he's waiting for the 3-run homer. Here's the problem with waiting for the 3-run homer. In the playoffs, 3-run homers don't come. When you're in a pennant race, 3-run homers don't come. You have to manufacture runs. Joe Girardi has stopped trying to manufacture runs because he's fallen in love with Teixeira and A-Rod and McCann hitting bombs. When they get back to manufacturing runs, a lot, Jacoby Ellsbury hasn't stolen a base since May. Brett Gardner hasn't stolen a base since June. You're kind of defeating the purpose of having two speedsters at the top of your lineup if you're not going to let them steal bases.
Yeah, but they have to get on the path consistently, too, though.
They do get on, Ty. They have gotten on. If anybody's watched the games against Toronto, they put guys on base.
Yeah, Garner has not been getting on base as of recent.
Yes, he has. Have you watched the games, or are you just going off of a box score? I've watched the game.
I live here, too.
I watched Brett Gardner stand on first base and not run. I watched Jacoby Ellsbury stand on second base and not run. And that game they lost 2-0 the other night, 3 times they had a runner at second base with 1 out. 3 times they had a runner at first base with no out, and a runner stayed put. They didn't sacrifice bunt. They didn't try to hit and run. They didn't try to steal. They were stationary. They're working base to base. When you work base to base, it defeats the purpose of having fast guys on your team.
Okay. But back to the Blue Jays. If they catch you guys, which they are within 2 games, like you said, they're a game and a half back, and in a favorable series, to say the least right now, I think they can at least take 2 in the series up against Oakland, being at home right now. This could be a very interesting race. And throughout the duration of August and definitely through the final stretch of September. Last point on the Blue Jays before we get moving and get into the call line.
Toronto struggles with Oakland no matter what Oakland is doing, so I'm not worried about it. Oakland's going to win 2 or 3. You also have to look at the history of teams against other teams. Toronto always struggles against Oakland. I don't care if Oakland rolls out 9 babies. They can beat Toronto. So their winning streak is coming to an end. They're going to lose 2 or 3 simply because it's Oakland.
Okay. This is Chandler. It will get hot in the kitchen. Okay. Calling in by way to say to Arizona, We have Nacho here at the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Go Mets, go Blue Jays, and I'm just making sure I don't owe anybody any bets or any money, right? We good? I'm good. I don't owe y'all money, right?
We all set for now.
Okay. I just want to make sure I don't owe nobody money.
You owe me $20.
All right, well, you're going to have to come see me, and maybe I don't want to get to that subject quite yet because we're going to get to that quarterback in a minute. But I'm doing excellent,
yeah.
Even though it's been raining. You know, the temperature's down. It's only 88 out here, Ty, so I'm living it up right now. You know, it's beautiful out here right now.
Okay, I asked you how you were doing. You do not have to spill forward into topics. If I'm asking about you, you answer about you, okay? And you need to know that, okay, because you did it yesterday, you're doing it today. You sit your little tail down and just relax, okay? In the words of the police and the movie Players Club, keep your hands on the car and lower your tone, okay? So let's get into it. How about this? I'm going to sit on it and leave this as an – I'm going to leave that as the entree or the steak because I know I can't wait to get Chandler riled up. Okay, so first and foremost, I'm going to put this in your neighborhood right now, Nacho. You just got to the kitchen, so let me get you in the kitchen and see how you feel about this one. The Arizona Cardinals signed a one-year deal to Christopher Johnson. Now, we have thoroughbred receivers alongside Chris Johnson. Your thoughts on this situation? If he still has gas in the tank, I don't want to say he can't run that 4.2 speed, but at least can still threaten the defense to run that 4.3. He's still going to be running for a while if he sees daylight. This is an awesome situation for him with receivers on the outside, and if Carson can stay upright and healthy, this could be a supreme offense out west. Your thoughts with Chris Johnson?
You know, out here out west, it's a good pickup, I think, for them. This is what they needed. They needed a running back that can and I don't want to say he's going to threaten anyone or make anyone just automatically throw 8 or 9 in the box. But, you know, a couple plays, like you said, that offensive line isn't too shabby. He gets out there and breaks a couple for 25, 35 early in the game. Then, you know, you've got one-on-one coverage with Floyd or Fitzgerald. Or Brown, and we all know that what Speedy Brown can do. He's got one-on-one coverage, and he breaks it. So, you know, this all depends. And, you know, the pickup is great, but it still all goes back to Carson Palmer. I think if he can stay healthy, this is a great pickup. If he can't, I don't know what this does eventually. They need a quarterback there. And I'm not too thrilled about him. I'm not high on him, but he can stay in the pocket, and he can complete some passes. And let those receivers do their job, hand the ball off to Chris Johnson, and not get hurt. If he cannot get hurt, then they might have a chance to win some games here. I do think that Chris Johnson, though, he is getting a little long in the tooth. Like you said, he's probably not going to run that 4.2 anymore. But what is it now? Probably a 4.3, a high 4.3, close enough to 4.4. Still very fast. Still a guy that can run with the ball. So like I said, and this O-line isn't that bad. They can run the ball. The one thing that we've said constantly over the past couple of years with Arizona is if they get a consistent run game behind their quarterback that can stay healthy, you know, they'll be a force to be reckoned with. And I think with Chris Johnson, this is the revitalized he needs, a team that is in the playoff hunt with or without him. We're talking about this team that could likely be in the playoff hunt. So this is an upgrade for him, obviously, in team. He gets to try it out, see if he can revitalize that career and make good. A lot of people don't like the fact that he got his money and he stopped working. And to some degree, it's what the output on the field, that's what it looked like. He got paid and stopped working. But I think this is an opportunity to prove a lot of those naysayers wrong and keep it going and maybe break for some big yards and get some good touchdowns out here in Arizona. So I like the pickup. They don't have too much in the way of running backs anyway. So just a little bit to help them out. But realistically, with no healthy Carson Palmer or no healthy quarterback, you know, it's not that great of a you know, it's not going to pick up wins if they have to go to a backup quarterback. But if they have a quarterback that can work, that can actually make a threat with these receivers, give them a reason to not stack the box, you know, and then that gives Chris Johnson less in the box and him able to, you know, like I said, maybe get a couple big breaks. So I like the pickup, but only unless they get a good enough quarterback in there full time.
Okay, so Chandler, this is your turn on this situation. This running back is just now leaving your organization. I can't even lie. I was at the game where the Jets played the Lions, and he actually broke for a 47-yard run, and that speed was still there. He still had it. So, I mean, your thoughts on him going to a team where he actually has two receivers that the defense has to be concerned about on the outside and a decent running back behind them, if he is to get the starting job, that depends on which way Bruce Arians goes with it, because they still have Andre Ellington there. They still have Stephon Taylor, the running back out of Stanford as well, who took a decent amount of snaps last year with the Cardinals. Your thoughts on Chris Johnson signing a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals?
I like it. It's a good fit for him. He doesn't have to be the bell cow. Chris Johnson, in the right situation, can still be a 1,000-yard back. Let's be clear. But he needs a team that has true offensive weapons besides him. He also needs an offensive coordinator who actually knows how to use him. Let's be honest. The Jets didn't know how to use Chris Johnson. They really didn't. I forget, Marty Morningway apparently didn't have a clue how to use Chris Johnson. How that's possible when you were in Philly, but you couldn't use Chris Johnson, boggles my mind. We know Rex wasn't calling any doggone offensive plays, so that's all on Marty Morningway. I think with Bruce Arians and the way Bruce Arians knows offense. He makes quarterbacks better. The problem with the Cardinals will will always be Carson Palmer. He's a bum. He's a bum. I'm gonna break out my Ralph Cranston for you. He's a bum. Okay.
So
he's gonna throw the big interception when you don't need it. He's going to fumble when you absolutely can't have it, and he's going to throw an incompletion when all you need him to do is check down to a pass to the back, right? So, I still say the Cardinals don't make the playoffs.
And that's what I had said previously, especially on the Gridiron Chef show, because I looked at their schedule, and it looked like they were going to run into a couple of difficult games, but now with the running back like Chris Johnson, this may change a couple of things, especially with the speedster back there. They can't sit up there and stack that box. They can't. They can't. I'm sorry if teams think they can be successful in leaving their corners on one-on-one islands with either Floyd on the outside or Larry Fitzgerald, but that's a high-risk, high-reward situation. Yeah, like if they do take it and, you know, try and let Chris get stuff to the line, because he is one of those running backs that does go down easy. He's not one of those guys that fights for yards. So that is the one knock against Chris Johnson, is that I don't want to say he doesn't give it at all, because he gives it his all, but I'm saying that, you know, the second effort is not really there for Chris Johnson. So I think secondaries more or less have to be concerned with trying to stop the pass, even though Chandler is hitting the nail in the coffin on the bum talk to around Carson Palmer. But I think this does take a little bit of pressure off of Carson Palmer moving forward.
Hey, Ty, real quick. Ty, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but see, you keep mentioning Larry Fitzgerald. Has everybody forgotten what Bruce Arians said last season? Or am I the only one who remembers? That he's not concerned with getting Larry Fitzgerald the ball. That if they throw it to Larry, then they will, but they're not concerned with trying to get him involved in the offense. Am I the only person who remembers that? Because
I'm not trying to make that as a deciding factor. I'm not trying to make that. I'm saying defense is okay if they're sitting up there with a one-on-one coverage. This guy can still go get the ball
But they won't, because they're not trying to incorporate him to the offense. That's their biggest problem, is Bruce Arians is looking at Larry Fitzgerald as, oh, the old guy. We're not going to worry about trying to get him involved. Here's the thing. Larry Fitzgerald had one-on-one coverage last season. You know why? Because they knew Arians wouldn't throw him the ball. So you can cover Larry one-on-one now, because they're not throwing him the ball. They're not even looking his way. That's why I don't think they'll make the playoffs. Because for whatever reason, Bruce Arians has decided that Larry's done. He's decided he's done. They are not targeting him, Ty. How can you not target him? But they're not. So if they're not targeting him, you can cover him one-on-one, double the other guy, and all you have to worry about is not letting Chris Johnson beat you out of the backfield. They're literally holding themselves, they're literally shooting themselves in the foot and helping the defense because Bruce Arians is bound and determined not to target Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay, I think this is still a little applauding to set defenses up. I would love for people to fall asleep on Larry, and this is if I was a Cardinal fan. I would love for secondary to fall asleep on this guy, knowing that this guy still has capabilities to hurt you. Whether he wants to be the possession receiver underneath or, you know, go up there and take chunks out of the field and get big yardage catches. I'm not saying he's a barn burner and be able to take things to the house. I mean, he might have a couple of plays that could do that, but I'm not looking at him still having that same explosiveness that he had fresh out of college. But I think there's still interesting things that he could do on the field that can hurt the secondary. So I wouldn't, if I was a defensive coach or a secondary, defensive back coach, I would tell these guys not to fall asleep. Number 11 could still come out here and hurt you. I'm sorry. I still respect Larry Fitzgerald's game at the end of the day. I still do. Okay.
I do as well. But what I'm saying is it's not about Larry's lack of talent. It's about the offense freezing him out. If they don't throw him the ball, it doesn't matter what he can do if they're not going to throw him the ball. That's all I was saying.
Taylor, we're going to agree to disagree because you're making it seem like he will not be seeing the ball like more than five times in the offense. I feel like he will.
He won't. Last season, Ty. Last season, he did not see that many balls a game. So
you're telling me there's going to be John Brown and Floyd and now Chris Johnson. That's it.
Bruce Arians said it and then proved it. Larry Fitzgerald saw less than four balls a game last season. And that was at the direction of the head coach. At the direction of the head coach.
Larry Fitzgerald was hurt during a portion of the season, too.
Yes, he was, but when he was healthy, he still saw less than four balls a game.
Okay.
What I'm saying is the head coach is the one taking him out of the offense. It's not his skill set. Listen, Larry Fitzgerald is still one of the best receivers in the league, in my opinion. And, yeah, I just like Larry Fitzgerald, so, you know what, I'm going to give him a pass on anything. But his head coach is the one who is limiting him. It's not his skill. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So we'll see throughout the duration of the season if we're going over what Arians is presented to you, then it's looking like it's going to be like a 650 to 800 yard season. That's what I'm looking at. I still feel like Larry could be more productive than that. And I feel like this could still be a ploy to set defenses up to go ahead, put him on one-on-one coverage. I bet you he moved the chains for us all game long. I still feel like he has that capability to do so. Like I said, I may be wrong. I want to see it be done. I want to see Arians just watch Michael Floyd and John Brown get it done on the outside. And now that they have the newly acquired Chris Johnson, get it done in the backfield, which if they're not going to get Larry the ball, then they could put the 7 or 8 in the box to try to slow him down. If it's 3rd and 3, then I'll take my chances then. If this is the case, if they're not going to let Carson throw the ball to him, I question that heavily. We do have a caller in queue, calling via Skype. Welcome to the cookout. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Good evening, fellas. Once again, Messiah bringing that knowledge to the grill. How y'all fellas doing? I'm hearing this Arizona talk. I heard. Huh? I'm going to be calm today.
Okay.
You know I'm in New York. I got issues. We're going through a lot of issues.
Wait, you settle down. Settle down. We're not going to go that far. Settle down. We're going to get there.
Y'all right about Fitzgerald, but there's one key component. The offensive line was terrible, and they had a third backup quarterback trying to throw the ball. And I think Bruce Arians needed to balance the offense, and that's how Arizona made the playoffs. They had to run the ball. They couldn't focus on Fitzgerald.
So do you think with the addition of Chris – okay, first off, your thoughts on Chris Johnson going to the Cardinals, does this help this offense, or is it more or less something that we have to wait and see to pan out? And also with the production of the receivers being John Brown, being Michael Floyd, and Larry Fitzgerald, do you think it's more or less a situation where one of these guys will kind of be you know, less productive, shall I say, in the offense? Or do you think everybody's a decent threat to at least get you three to six catches a game and it can hurt you? I still feel like Fitzgerald's a possession receiver. Can still get you those 4 to 7 catches and still hurt you. What are your thoughts?
If it's 3rd down and 7, they're going to look Fitzgerald's way on the slant. But if you don't get separation, if Malcolm Floyd comes back after breaking his fingers in camp, it's a lot of ifs right there with Arizona. A lot of ifs.
No, that's and Michael. That's Michael Floyd. Malcolm Floyd is in San Diego.
Well, who's the kid who broke his fingers? He's out for the Arizona. They wide out. Somebody got hurt in camp already. He's missing 6 weeks with fingers. First practice.
If it wasn't, it's Michael Floyd. Because Malcolm Floyd is in San Diego.
What's the case? Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of ifs. I mean, Chris Johnson got shot in the shoulder. Last year, he wasn't pulling away from defenders in New York. I watched the whole season. So, you're not getting the 2,000-yard Chris Johnson. But the skill set to catch the ball out the backfield is still there. But that O-line has to block. You don't get Chris Paul more time, they're going to struggle. And then Fitzgerald won't get the ball. John Brown won't get the ball. Chris Johnson won't have holes. It's a lot of ifs in Arizona. So they need to get through training camp and see what Chris Johnson has left. If he still wants it, you get shot in the shoulder in the offseason, that changes things.
Okay, one more topic before I put the steak on the grill, and I cannot sit on it any longer. But this topic actually draws some concern to me because I was one of the guys here in Sports City. I'm not going to lie, and I may be wrong, and, you know, as the duration of the season goes on, might feel a type of way, but I said the loss of DeMarco Murray will end up biting Dallas in the backside. I really felt like he was in his best productive season, and you know, me and Chandler went back and forth on it being his, you know, his contract year, so on and so forth, but now the running back that's supposed to take the shine as of Joseph Randle, because let me be clear. I'm going to talk about me, and I really don't like focusing on me, but I have to kind of do it. I'm not sold on Dan McFadden. When he came out of college, yes, and in his first season, he was burning holes into the dirt, but then after that, it was like every 3 games, oh, it's his foot. Oh, it's his foot. Oh, it's his foot. So it's like his will is bad. So I'm not sold on DMC. Now, I know that he could probably come back and be the thoroughbred that everybody thought he could be, still go out there and burn that 4.35 speed out there. You got to go out there and catch him, so on and so forth. He runs high. We all know that. Chandler alluded to it. He runs similar to Eric Dickerson and the guys that, you know, stayed upright coming through holes, so on and so forth. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is Joseph Randle has an oblique injury right now, and that is going to be out for some time. So not only are they down DMC, they are now down Joseph Randle. Right now, it's early, and it's August, but this is a concern because the oblique is an area where guys hit these running backs. So if this could be a nagging injury through the season, this is something that I think can draw concern. Nacho, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on the running back out of Dallas being Joseph Randle.
I'm about to light it on fire. They about to go pick up Ray Rice. I just read a couple articles about the Browns and how they talked about picking up Ray Rice. With this current injury, with Darren McFadden's current injury, with the way that they've taken Greg Hardy under their wing and done all that great stuff, the way that Ray Rice has pushed himself back into the forefront again, I really do think that I really do think that this is the opportunity that Dallas was that Ray Rice has been waiting for, and Dallas needs a running back. And I think this is the opportunity for Jerry Jones to make another big splash and put his team back on the front pages and get back into the, you know, the media eye again. So to me, this injury, it is a blow, obviously, with DMC going down as well. Injury, I believe it's the hamstring or whatever, the DMC. But with those two going down, I think this is the, you know, the straw that broke Jerry's back, and I think this is what he was waiting for. He tried to get the Adrian Peterson. He couldn't. And I think now this is the opportunity for him to take his chance on Ray Rice and for Ray Rice to take his chance with us and get back in and see if he can actually perform on the field. I know 3.1 or 3.0 is the number we all asphyxiate with Ray Rice, and the fact that if maybe he played a different position like a defensive end or a linebacker, and he was at the top of his game, he'd still have a job. The fact that he's a running back, a diminished position, and when we last saw him was not rushing very well. I think this is like the perfect storm of events. And we all know Jerry likes to make that splash. Jerry likes to put his team back into the limelight. And so I think this is the way that he does it. I just have a really strong feeling that with the way ESPN and NFL Network and everyone's been pushing Ray Rice to give him a second chance. I just think it was going to take a lot of injuries to a running back crew. And this has happened. It's also been happening in the Browns. So I think with the fact that them talking about it, it's going to open the door. And I think Jerry's got the pockets, obviously, and he's got the I don't care mentality to do something like this. So I really do think this is poised for Ray Rice to wear a star on his helmet next year.
Next year or this year? That is the concern.
This year.
And
this year. Sorry. This year.
Exactly. And this was actually something that was being mentioned, not in the kitchen, but out here in Connecticut. I know people that know Ray Rice. Ray Rice lives in my area, and they were already drawing concern that Ray Rice would already go to Dallas before these injuries started occurring, before the DMC and Randall issue came around. So this is actually bigger than anticipated. So I don't know if you've been eating Connecticut food or you just like Timeless is cooking, but this is some great stuff to get into already. Let's go to you now, Ron, and let's see how you feel about the situation. You know, at least two running backs being down in the Dallas organization, being DMC and also Joseph Randall as of late, issues or injuries right now. Your thoughts on what Dallas could do to stay packed at the running back position? And like I said, it was something that I was concerned about, DeMarco leaving. And do you think there is smoke there with Ray Rice and the potential with him going to Dallas?
The blueprint is there. You got that O-line. Ray Rice can also block. But I know his last year in Baltimore wasn't up to par, but this would be the perfect setting. Matter of fact, put his locker right next to Hardy. Why not? Go for it all. Why not? Line up Hardy right next to Rice. Let them even have them do a podcast. But with that old line, all he got to do is run through the hole, and he could catch out the backfield. He was a dual threat in Baltimore in his prime, and he's still only 28, 29. And if you're Jerry Jones, you're trying to fill up Jerry World, some people might get upset, but if they get to a bowl, which they won't with Romo, but why not? Unless you have somebody already on the practice squad, you never know. Guys, coaches feel somebody on the practice squad can pick up, but I'm not hearing no names. And you might as well. I thought Chris Johnson should have went to Dallas, but Ray Rice is a good fit there. I don't see why it wouldn't work unless Ray Rice was done before he decided to go to Atlantic City and have a little issue with the missus. But the blueprint is there. The dual threat was.
Oh, finish up. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm going to behave tonight, man. I'm in the chef. You know,
Oh, no. I'm going to get you. Listen. You can sit still all you want. I'm about 3 minutes away from where I need to be with you. I'm about 3 minutes away from where I need to be with you. Okay, Mr. Knight, your thoughts on the situation of what's going on in Dallas at the running back position? They watched DeMarco Murray go to Philadelphia. They get DMC, and his injuries are occurring once again. And this is early in training camp. And now, as a recent situation, Joseph Randall has an oblique injury and is out for some time right now, too. Don't really have the timetable on how long he will be out, but your thoughts at the option of the running back position for the Dallas Cowboys?
The sky is falling. Oh, my God, the sky is falling, and we haven't played a preseason game. Seriously? They already knew McFadden was going to have some hamstring issues. They already said he wasn't going to play until after the first preseason game. The oblique injury to Randall, a little worrisome, but not so much. They have 4 weeks for preseason games. They haven't played one yet. Ray Rice will never play in the National Football League again. The video and the sponsors dictate that. No team, not even the Cowboys, are going to pay that man. I'm not saying he can't play. I'm not saying he can't help anybody. I personally hope he gets hit by a truck. Okay?
But could he play? Could he help them? He absolutely could. Will any team give him an opportunity? They will not. Why? Because of the video. I don't care how much ESPN is stumping for him. I don't care how much NFL Network is stumping for him. The minute a team hires him, they will have to deal with the fallout from sponsors and women's groups, domestic violence groups, local. Listen, no team wants to deal with that. They don't. They really, really don't. The reason Greg Hardy has a job is because there's no video. There's no video. And Greg Hardy is still an above-average talent. Ray Rice, at this stage of his career, is a talent. He's not above average. You can find another running back to replace him. Remember, preseason games haven't started. You don't know what gem they're going to find during the preseason games. Ray Rice is not playing in this league again, man. He needs to go to CFL if he wants to play football. He's not playing in the NFL. No team's going to take a chance because of the video, because the sponsors will lose their minds. And trust me, the bottom line is the most important thing to every single NFL owner. It's not W's and L's. It's dollars and cents.
Okay, anybody disagree?
He was right about the owners, because he did turn on the owners after the owners said, Ray, we got you. And that was a load, that was another whole part of this. Because they could have swept this under the rug. But once he started saying, I told the Ravens the truth, and they knew, and he started throwing the Baltimore owner under the bus, that's what really sealed his fate. So he's right on that. Having Jemele Hill do that interview trying to clean it up, and Ray Rice had a squeaky clean image before that video. It just looks bad. It just looks bad. But running backs are a dime a dozen now, so it's a demand market. No one's really going to go out their way to make way for a 29-year-old running back who's been out the league for a year. Ask Tiki Barber. He learned the hard way.
That is true, Tiki Barber. Anybody else agree or disagree with the situation around Ray Rice or Joseph Randle or the running back situation with Dallas? Okay, the silence helps me. Let's go. The grill is blowing up. I'm sorry, Fort City, I have to do it like this, but like I started the show off, I'm going to say it again, Karma, I apologize for whatever wrongdoing I've ever done. If I've upset you or you know, gotten in your way, please excuse me. I'm human. You know what I'm saying? But first and foremost, please just rest and relax on my quarterback. I don't want to see my quarterback in one of these scuffles, hurt or even worse. So, we just sat right here in this doggone kitchen, right? Sat right here. And we're on the Monday Night Sport wrap-up having a decent debate. It was a debate. You know, we're going back and forth talking about Cam this, Cam that, and Cam putting people in line, and, you know, this won't happen, so on and so forth. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm understanding this. I'm all right with everything that's going on, right? So then, all of a sudden, we get a call from somewhere in New York, you know, somewhere in New York. So I said, you know, what team do you like, you know, and what would happen if this happened to your team? He said, oh, I'm not worried about this. I'm worried about Sheldon Richardson and making sure that he don't get on some Grand Theft Auto stuff and make sure that he don't crash and do no hurt to nobody. I'm like, okay, calm, cool, you know what I'm saying? Then we get more in the depth of the conversation, and then we have one of the chefs going back and forth with the guy out of New York and saying that this would never happen in Jets land or gangrene land because Geno, you know, is the youngster. You got more, you know, veteranism around Geno. And I'm like, y'all can understand where you're coming from. I do understand where you're coming from with that one. That was a good lead-in, right? But Sports City, things happen today. Woo, boy, oh, boy, it was like timing out of control, Sports City. So I get word from the New Yorker today. I get word from him, and he's like, Ty, you won't believe what's happening. I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, Man, Geno got his jaw broke. I said, you're lying, right? I said, you're lying. He's there for real. So I'm like, now I'm panicking because I'm like, did we wish bad karma on the dude? Like, did we just talk that out of Sports City for real last night and it happened? Not even a full 24 hours later. Not even a full 24 hours later as it happened. I checked out the report, and they said the scuffle happened. And this was a part of the debate last night, too. It happened in the locker room, like Chandler said. If it happens in the locker room, it won't be that big of a deal. They'll try and keep it, you know, within house. So I respect Chandler saying that and that debate that they had. So from what I'm hearing, it possibly may be over funds. If it's over funds, it's ridiculous on the amount of money that it's over and how much both of these guys make in their careers playing football. So I'm not going to spill too much into it. I want you guys to open your lungs and throw everything on the grill that you possibly can because this is the hot trade of the day. I know this is going to carry over. We do have a caller in queue calling in from the 404 area code. Welcome to the cookout. What's your name? Caller from the 404 area code, what's your name? Okay, cool. So we'll get into this. This should be an excellent show, Sports City. I don't know where to go right now because I have two of the Gang Green members here, and this is where it all went down, Sports City. If you did not hear it last night,
of course, man, you got to come this way. I gave you the info. You got to
I know. But you got to save the best for last. Like I know this is like built up emotion, so like I have to use this to my advantage here in Sports City. You know what I'm saying? Especially you, because you came here and tried to mess with the dish. Like we didn't cook right. Like you sit the dish back to the kitchen like this ain't, you know, Cam and Gino this and the next thing you know, you hitting me with the report. And I'm like, really? So I gotta sit on it with you. I'ma put Chandler behind you. So Mr. Silva, your thoughts on what went down in Gang Greenland, if you will. Now I'm gonna add my twist to it, and I talked to Chandler about it today also. So I know it'll probably get dissed out there also. But your thoughts on Geno Smith out for the next 6 to 10 weeks, looking like it's the timetable of the beginning of October for the starting quarterback being out?
I'm just trying to comprehend the enormity of what just happened. Now, we talk about leadership and you know, things like that, and I'm sure the next two gentlemen will get into a whole bunch of that. But I brought this up to a gang of my friends at work today, my coworkers, and the overall assumption or the overall overwhelming reaction I got was, why did he go over there if the whole situation for the money is a situation of getting your money back or whatever? Why did he go over there and not have one of his offensive linemen handle the situation for him? And that's what I get into, and I started thinking about that as I, you know, we all have played at some age, and we all know the relationship from O-lineman to quarterback. Where was his O-lineman in this whole situation? Where was his protection in this whole situation? If I see my quarterback about to get into a situation, and whether it's on the field or in the locker room or wherever, you got to be right next to him. And I don't know the whole situation. Obviously, no one does, but the men that were in that locker room. But if I'm asking one good question, and this is the one good question I got to ask, is where are the five offensive linemen that are supposed to protect this man? And I'm not saying he needs big brothers to protect him. He needs someone to, you know, fight his fights for him, but someone standing next to him to dissolve the situation, to protect the quarterback in the sense of protecting him from himself or protecting him from another player and the way that it should have been dissolved peacefully, maybe, you know, not throwing punches. So that's what I get out of this situation, and I'll let the next guys get in on leadership because I can't. I don't know how to explain the lack of that in that locker room right now, letting your quarterback jaw get broken. But
I just have to ask, and I don't know if it's going to get answered or if the situation will get out. This day and age, it probably will. But I just want to know where his protection was at. Where was his guidance, so to speak, of the offensive lineman to be there? And like I said, they don't need to be the big brother who had fighting his battles, but at least someone there to dissolve the situation. If it wasn't one of the starting five, somebody there to dissolve that and not let it escalate to such a degree where now your starting quarterback is out 6 to 10 weeks. It's a sad situation all around because, this is something that all could have been avoided in the very beginning. But we are where we are, and it's just, this is what we thought or we feared could happen with the Cam Newton situation. An injury that could prevent you from playing in games and winning games for your team. This necessarily doesn't have to do with the football or on the field, but this whole, fighting in the practice and the preseason thing, it brings a little light that it takes it off the field sometimes.
Ty, can I answer one of his questions?
No, okay, so I come to you. I was going to let Ron get in, the Messiah, because he sparked this up. So I'll let you cook, Chandler. You can answer all the questions you need to and address the situation also with the quarterback out there in gangrene.
Okay, Mr. Silva, first of all, Gino didn't go to his locker. He came to Gino's locker. They have a relationship because he invited Gino to his football camp. Gino didn't get to go to his football camp because someone died close to Gino. So he missed the football camp. Now, EK, IK, whatever the hell you want to call him, idiot, that's what I'm going to call him,
AK.
decided he had put out $600 and Gino needed to repay him. Well, here's what it is. He was embarrassed because Gino didn't show up. So he comes over to Gino's locker. They're talking about the money. Guys are like, well, if you invite somebody to your camp as a representative, you have a relationship. You're probably friendly with them. So you know what? Friends argue. Guys go back and forth. Ty and I do it on the phone all the time. Hell, we did it in person when I went to Connecticut. Okay? We did it in person. All right? Here's what happened. EK, IK, idiot, who in college jumped on a cop that he knew was a cop and decided, I'm going to jump on him anyway. And after they tased him and maced him, wouldn't get off the cop, broke Gino's jaw. So no offensive lineman, no anybody over there could have defused that, because since we've all been in those locker rooms, we all have disagreements with our buds, with our friends, okay? And we stand and argue, yell, whoop, and holler. Everybody says, oh, man, them guys are cool. They ain't going to do nothing, and which is probably what was happening. And then this idiot broke his jaw straight up and down. Broke his jaw. Just, hooked off on him. He just hooked off on him. There was nothing anybody could do. Now, Gene, if he wants to, by the way, $600. Pocket changed for an NFL player. $600. Now, the idiots of the world, the Damian Woodies, that fat, no good, FAP crab, okay? And Damian Woody, you are not a Jet. Be clear on that. We don't need you, Damian Woody. You turncoat, you traitor. They want to jump up and say, oh, it's a issue of Gino leadership. And Gino ain't good leader. Blah, 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 blah. Man, shut up. Fact of the matter is that this has nothing to do with leadership. The kid, the linebacker, the backup linebacker who got cut instantly, was embarrassed because he told all these people that Geno Smith was coming to his camp. Geno didn't show up because someone he loved died. So God forbid he don't show up at a football camp. And then this idiot decided, oh, I want my $600. We all know it's not about $600. His pride was hurt. He was embarrassed.
Right.
The leadership in the locker room, we can speak to that. I'm not going to say, because the fact of the matter is, if you invite me to your camp, me and you must have a relationship, right? So if we're arguing and we're boys, does anybody think you're going to hook off on me?
Right.
Really? I mean, we all get into it on this phone. Does anybody think if we were standing here having a sports debate like that, that either any of us would hook off on the next person? Seriously? Much drunk as we might talk, ain't nobody breaking nobody's jaw over a sports debate, man.
This is not on Geno. This is not on leadership and locker room. It's not about the offensive line not doing anything to protect their quarterback. This is about a dude who has an anger management issue, who hooked the dude over $600, which is pocket change to an NFL player. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So to answer your question, Geno didn't go to his locker. He came to Geno's locker. This was not Geno. Now, Geno did say that he would pay the dude. He didn't pay him. But if we boys, how many times told you, yo, man, I got you. I'll get you later. Three months later, yo, man, I know I owe you. Don't worry about it. You understand what I'm saying? We all do that. We all got that guy we owe money to. That's my man. I can owe him forever. It's my man. Right? This is the most ridiculous situation I've ever seen. Seriously. And I'm not going to pile on Geno Smith. You might not like Geno. I get that. A lot of people don't like Geno. I get all of that. If you want to pile on Geno because you don't like Geno, just say, I don't like Geno, so I'm going to take this opportunity to trash Geno. And you know what? That's your prerogative. There's players I don't like. I can tell you some of the guys I don't like that people love, guys like Derek Jeter, who I hate. Okay? So, you understand what I'm saying? If you don't like the player, you don't like the player. You know what I'm saying? We're fans. We're for fanatics. So we like who we like. Okay? That's what it is. But don't tell me this is about Geno not being a leader or the offensive line not doing their job. This was an incident that nobody could have predicted. This is something that no one could have thought would happen. Like I said, he didn't go to Geno's locker. He went to Geno's locker. Geno didn't go to his locker. And nobody thought, because if you invite someone to your camp, you're obviously friendly, that this dude would hook on for him. So, Nacho, it's not about the offensive lineman. This is about a dude that has some serious anger issues, and now we got a quarterback.
Okay, we do have the... Wait, hold on, Ryan. I got you. Hold on. We do have the caller back from the 404. Welcome to the cookout. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, man. Listening to you guys, man. Interesting takes on this conversation. But I guess I'll go to Cam before I get to the Geno stuff. I'm in disagreement with a lot of people on that Cam situation. Of course, yes, he could have gotten hurt. You know what I mean? That's a risky proposition. But there's a certain level of respect between men that people have. He felt the man disrespected him. He didn't want to lose face in front of his friends. We've all done dumb things because we didn't want to lose face. So for him to handle that little DB with a smile on his face, I think it let that team know that this dude we running with has heart. And, you know, I'm a Cam Newton fan all day, so I have a little bias in that situation. But I just don't understand all of the fallout from it. Like, people are talking, well, this is immaturity. This, and I think it's just like the gentleman before me just said, people want to lay things on certain players, and they look for any instance to lay it, even when it doesn't apply. So I think that was much ado about nothing. Typical camp fight. But this Geno Smith situation, like, this is crazy. Like, a backup linebacker who, you know, might have made the team, for him to break his jaw and possibly, like, this could send Geno on a spiral of being a career backup, because this was the defining year for Geno Smith. Like, he really had to show and prove. He has a new coach who didn't draft him, has no allegiance to him. All he wanted was to see what the results were this year. And for him to lose that chance over $600 in somebody's ego, because you know how conversations can go, man. They can escalate, especially when somebody thinks people are watching and your pride is on the line, and this dude just lost himself. May have just ended his whole chance of ever playing in the NFL based on $600 and his ego. So it's two totally different situations. But, man, I feel bad for Geno today, man. Because, I mean, this could send you on that leftwich trajectory. You know what I mean? This was a guy who was seen as possibly a quarterback who could do something in this league. He's had really good moments, and he's had really, really bad moments. But, you know, the jury wasn't out yet on the guy. So for him not even to have that opportunity, it's horrible, man. But much respect to y'all, though, man. Y'all doing good work on this show, man. I've been interested in listening.
Well, you stay right there. We might not be done with you. I know people may have a perspective on that Cam Newton situation, because we talked about that yesterday. And boy, oh boy, it spiraled into what happened today. I'm going to just get you up to speed now. I'm going to just say it like this. We discussed the Cam Newton situation so bad that we have two Jets fans here, and we said, let's make an example if this were to happen to Geno Smith. And Geno Smith gets into the fight the next day.
Oh, that man was attacked by Vince Vaughn in a breakup, okay? You ever seen a breakup with Vince Vaughn when he got attacked? Okay, he was attacked, okay?
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. But Cam didn't chase that boy down yesterday. Geno didn't go chase this boy down today. So there's two different situations on what could happen to a quarterback in these scuffles. Now,
yeah, but Cam is not the average quarterback in a scuffle either. Like, we got to bring size into it when we talk about it.
No. You're right. No. And before I even got the topic out, I said Cam ain't the average quarterback because Cam is 6'6" and 250 and built solid. So this ain't no... Just like you said, this ain't no regular show here. Like, this is a showdown. But still, like my co-host Chandler here says, that's a $60 million throwing hand. You feel me? Like the city of Charlotte is in that palm. You feel me? Like the College Park area of Georgia, where you probably are from, rely on that hand. You see what I'm saying? You feel me?
No question. But I think those are logical answers, not really thought about in the heat of the moment. Every fight all of us have ever been in, if we had a chance to think it out, we might have been able to, you know, de-escalate and say, okay, this ain't really worth fighting for. I don't think that's realistic to ask.
And I hate to put this type of terminology on in Sports City, just vibe with me, but that's like you walking to a convenience store and there's no person at the cash register, the register wide open, and you got a high executive type of job. Are you going to get what you need, grab the cash, and walk out, or are you going to wait until they get back in front of the cash register? You see what I'm saying? And that is the thought process of some of these people. Are you going to keep your eye on the prize, or are you going to mess up in this critical situation? Because nobody knows what's going to happen. Cam is at the bottom of this pile with this dude. You see what I'm saying? So now, $600, however this situation may be, same situation, it's $600. Even though this guy's a reserve linebacker, he's making $500,000. $600 is $6 to him right now. That's $6 to him. Like you're really chasing down a quarterback that's making millions. For $600, like, Geno can't come up with that in September or October when he's seen a couple of game checks. Like, you got to be stronger in the mind in that situation. That's why I'm looking at it like that. But it wasn't
okay,
even like
let,
I was
let
trying
me,
to...
Let me put it like this. Why do we all remember Tyrone Hill from the NBA? So it's not about the $600. It's more about losing face or respect in front of people. So when Charles Oakley slapped up Tyrone Hill and that became his rep, do you think Tyrone Hill would have wanted to change that situation if he thought he could have against Oakley? Like, that stuff means a lot, man. How many people do you know aren't here anymore based on somebody felt like they were disrespected? Like, we can justify or say, you know, whether it's wrong or right all we want to. I'm just trying to say what is.
Okay, but now looking at that situation, that was a play that happened on the field. Josh picked him off. Norman picked him off and went to the sideline with the ball. Cam followed him there. That's a play that happens on the field. So let's just say they're playing the Falcons. Some player in the Falcons pick him off, and he's home in Georgia. That's Cam from Georgia. Picture him getting picked off in front of his whole family. He's going to chase one of the Falcons to the sideline?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a case that he just ran over there and wanted to fight him. He chased him, chasing the play down. What we usually kind of accentuate is hard work and showing somebody that cares, push the guy. Then the guy comes back with a harder shove. So then it turned from just a football play into, well, wait a minute, dude, you trying me? You know what I mean? It turned into that. So
I don't think those things
are comparable.
Dog, they're on the sideline. The play's over. Why are you pushing them, Cam? Don't forget, Cam was in a fight last year, and his whole team had to come for him in the middle of the end zone because he tried to do the Superman dance. You remember that? It's the same Cam.
Cam actually
has a history following him right now. He doesn't have this happening right now.
I don't think we need to start doing this football fight to
I wasn't even painting the picture around Cam like you need to grow up, you need to be more mature, you're immature. I wasn't even painting that picture. This was the discussion that we was having, and it actually spilled into Gino being used as example. And Gino, this stuff actually happened. I was going to curse more city, but this stuff actually happened. You know what I'm saying? So this.
Let me just ask you this. I hear your point and everything, but are we really going to start putting training camp fights on people's records? Like, yeah, this guy, he's known to do this from his training camp. Like, what would LT do in today's NFL? What would some of these throwback guys do in today's NFL if we're putting fights on people's resume from training camp?
It's a different age in the NFL. Like, they won't even let people breathe on each other in the NFL. If you breathe on dude, you get a 15-yard penalty, and so they can't even celebrate after a touchdown. Like, it's a different breed of NFL players. It's not the NFL that we're used to seeing, what we came up accustomed to being around. Like, we can think about all
the
throwback
guys. On the field, I agree with you, but during training camp, it's just as prehistoric as it was back in the day, man, and fights are going to happen. We just started. There's going to be a few more.
Okay, but listen, it's just like Gino got the whole area of New York and they're breathless right now. Picture Cam injured because he got into a fight that he instigated. The whole Carolina area wouldn't be nice right now. Listen, you know what they'd be faced with? They'd be faced with Derek Anderson trying to run the show.
Yeah, but that who instigated the fight is perspective. Because I feel like if it's a football play after the play is over and I give you a slight little push, but then you push me in the chest on some man-up stuff, like, that's different. In my mind, you instigated that fight. But I
okay,
mean,
so I didn't even get to Ryan yet. I do want to get his point because he's the one that brought this stuff up. So I can't wait to see him.
Hold on.
Let's just say you, for instance, right? You pick off, and you in the Georgia area, so you playing for the Falcons. You might be a Falcons fan. Let's just say that. You know, you pick off Drew Brees in the middle of a division chase, and you know, everything on the line, and both of y'all are 9-6. Somebody got to make the playoffs in the NFC South, right? You pick them off and run to your sideline. Drew Brees follow you over there and push you. You not going to push him back?
Let's just keep it where it is. I hear you, but let's not change the narrative. Let's keep it where it is. Training camp in New Orleans. Drew Brees throws a pick. One of the DBs runs back. Drew Brees chases him. He gives the guy a push on the sideline. You think that guy's going to shove Drew Brees in the chest and step up to him to fight?
I'm putting you in these shoes. I'm not putting these guys in these shoes.
I doubt it. Now, I'm just saying it's not likely to happen.
How did we get off the Jets? We were talking about the Jets. This is the Jets time. Give my Jets the time.
This is what happened at the cookout. Look at your normal cookout, this is what's gonna happen. Okay. Now, please sit on that topic. Please sit. I'm coming back to you because they want to eat. Look, you see these dudes are hungry. They're hungry. Okay.
Fellow Jet fan said recently, Gino, the vibe in New York is so split because these same Jet fans was making excuses for Sheldon Richardson's nonsense, but yet they want to kill Gino because he's had 45 turnovers the last 2 years, so they think it's okay because they think the backup quarterback is going to save the season. And that's the problem with fans, their agenda. You want to forgive Sheldon Richardson because he's a Pro Bowler, and with him, we could go far. But with Gino, with that leadership. Like, come on. This guy is robbed of an opportunity to lead this team, and everybody wants to see what he can do with these weapons. So I'll put this back on because I'm in PA right now when all these Philly fans are complaining about Chip Kelly don't treat us like men. And this is what happens. You got a 6th-round pick, feeling it's okay to put hands on somebody. I work in the middle school. This kid, I see jawing each other. If I know they just arguing, I'm going to turn my back, but I'm going to listen. Once you decide to put your hands on somebody, it's a problem. And then the same fans is bringing up Geno's history at West Virginia. Oh, he didn't work hard. He wasn't well-liked. Does he have a record? No. This guy, you know, you put your hands on cops, and that's why he dropped to the 6th-round pick. So your weakness showed once again, and honestly, you wasn't thinking about the team. You thinking about $600. You wasn't thinking about the team trying to get better. No, you thinking about $600. And now this guy's out six, and this broken jaw thing, man, this is serious. And now we got a lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick who's coming off a broken leg who was going to be looking like Rick. Because if you Ryan Fitzpatrick, you got to give a speech like Rick from The Walking Dead. Anybody else think they're going to put hands on quarterback, it's going to be a problem. Like, come on, man. Like, yo, man, I hope Fitzpatrick and the rookies having a meeting right now. They might have to drop the N-bomb. Like, listen, man, these niggas getting out of hand. Like, people talk, man. Like, come on. The British show's got to pull these guys in. Like, listen, man. This ain't the blind side, but I got ya. Like, we can't have this. And Revis got to be like, and this is why Darrell Revis has to get paid. This is why Revis has to get paid. All, and in New York, we was trying. And here we are again. I'm going to tell you my Jets slogan I've had for years. 6-10, let's do it again. J-E-T-S, just in the season. I can't. Now I'm worried about the Madden rating. I'm sitting here worried about Madden right now. I got to worry about my New York Yankees now. They down 2-0 to Cleveland. I'm going to call back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. I got to watch this Yankee game. I got to make sure Sheldon Richardson is not hanging out with Holden Smith. We ain't going to talk about Colin Kaepernick and Holden Smith fighting over a reality check. I mean, Black Lives Matter, right? I'm done, man.
I don't understand the Black Lives Matter comment, but I understand everything else. I don't know what that was. Okay.
I had to rally with you, man.
I was about to say, I hope we ain't getting into some Herman Cain nonsense over here now.
I got my hat on.
See what happens for a city where we start spiraling. Now, interesting enough, okay, so I let people rebut. Chandler, do you have anything to say? Because this was the crime yesterday. We had the green on green crime. Do you agree with him and what's going on with the Jets organization?
Yeah, because he's right. Everybody's trying to pile on Geno Smith. That's why I brought up Damian Woody, fat, out of shape, biggest loser, punk ass, okay? Screw you, Damian Woody. Everybody would pile on Geno. Oh, it's a lack of leadership. It's because Geno didn't respect it. Bryce Petty's the next. You don't like Geno Smith? You don't have to like Geno Smith. Okay? Stop running your mouth and talking about, oh, it's weak lad. Ryan Fitzpatrick's been in the league for 13 years. He's averaged double-digit interceptions for 13 years. But he's the savior? Geno Smith is having double-digit interceptions. How is that better? Are you serious? A backup linebacker, which is basically a special teams player, just ruined our season, and all you want to do is pile on Geno. Shut up.
Let me ask you this, Nas. Do you think it's a blessing in disguise? Now I get to spice this up. Because I told you, I dropped about 6 bombs before I got into this.
No, it's not a blessing in disguise.
Wait, you stop talking. I don't interrupt you. Please don't interrupt me. And your name is not Nas either.
I apologize, sir. Okay,
That's rude. I don't do that to you. I let you talk. You did your thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, Nas, before I was rudely interrupted, you know what I'm saying? Do you think this is a blessing in disguise with Geno going down? With guys like Petty behind him, where a lot of people think he can come in here and throw that ball around a lot, with some interesting receivers. I'm not sold on Fitzpatrick. That's just me. I feel Fitzpatrick is a waste of time right now. But to go in there and put Petty in there with a guy that all he has to do is get accustomed to what's going on and let him start gunslinging, do you think he has the capability to run the show in New York?
I mean, we don't know. It's the unknown. We have to see a lot more. Fitzpatrick, he's already proven what he is. I mean, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. But no, this is a tragedy, man, because Geno's not getting that opportunity to prove whether he was a mediocre guy who's going to be a backup or he's an official NFL starter. There's so few actual NFL starters nowadays
that once you invest that money in a draft pick, you need to see it through at least, you know, 2 to 3 years to see what you got. So for him to be, you know, for that situation to be snatched away from him, it's horrible, man. And any franchise who went through this right now would be in shambles. So, yeah, it's horrible.
That's why I was begging for forgiveness from Karma. I'm like, please, just leave my team alone. I don't have nothing to do with this. Please. That I don't want nothing to do with this.
Right.
I don't want nothing to do with this, please. And it's good that Sue is gone, because Sue probably would have been the first one swinging on Stafford. Please, look, please. Everybody keep your head. Oh, okay, Nacho, do you think this is a blessing in disguise? Do you think Petty could get in there and run the show? Because I think across the board, nobody really believes in Fitzpatrick running the show for Gangrene, unless Todd Bowles buys into him having the experience of being around the NFL and several different instances in starting quarterback.
No, I don't think this is a blessing in disguise. Even if Bryce Petty can run this offense, he was nowhere near preparing to be close to this field. So even if now they try to jumpstart him in, it'll just take too long, even with 4 weeks in a preseason. I just don't think they're going to have a blessing in disguise. And even if he does get it, it'll be four to six games in before he starts catching up to it. So, and that's even if they're winning. So, no, this is not a blessing, guys, at all. This is possibly one of the worst things that could happen to a team, any team, losing the starting quarterback that you're running in with. Regardless, they have no backups whatsoever that can go in and make this a blessing in disguise situation. This is you know, as bad as it can get.
Okay, Messiah, how about you? Do you agree or disagree, or do you think the season is in shambles just like everyone else?
I would have to change religions if I think a blessing and a broken jaw goes hand in hand. Okay. This is it. Unless this kid Petty proved to be Russell Wilson, beating out Matty Flynn. Man, when they gave Matty Flynn his 12 mil in Seattle and Russell Wilson clearly beat him out in camp and Pete Carroll went with Russell Wilson, unless you see something like that, you cannot throw the rookie in, because the Jets spend way too much money in bringing in these veterans to hand over the reins to a rookie. Now we back to Sanchez again. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that to Revis. You can't do that to Cromartie. Unless you see the it factor in practice. And players know in practice if that guy's that dude. Fitzpatrick, everyone's jumping on, but the thing is, he was brought in here for a reason. He's played in Chan Gailey's system for him, Buffalo. Remember they gave him 60 mil? And then all of a sudden he fell apart, but he had Buffalo, what, 8-2 until he fell apart and got hurt? So what Fitzpatrick is, his job is to steer the ship, try not to turn over the ball, and get some wins. Petty, you cannot do that to him. Like, you cannot bring in all these guys and hand it over to, what was Petty, a fourth-round, fifth-round pick? Can't do that. So Fitzpatrick, better get some of that Ray Lewis deer antler juice, rub it on his leg, and get out there and practice and show his teammates he can get it done and beat these Browns on the first game of the season. I said that yesterday. I'm focused on the first game of the season, and look what happened. Ridiculous.
Thank you. Thank you for telling Ty what I've been telling him for months. But apparently, he'll only listen to somebody other than me.
Okay, now you can speak now that everybody's got their dialogue out about this not being a blessing in disguise for the Jets organization as a quarterback position.
Bryce Petty and Geno Smith are the same player. Their stats say that. For those of you who like stats, their stats are very comparable. So comparable that you could postulate, for those of you who don't know what that is, look it up. That if you put Geno at Bryce Petty's school and Bryce Petty at Geno's school, the numbers would be exactly the same, just different names. Geno Smith wasn't ready when he started as a rookie, coming from a spread offense to the NFL. Bryce, listen, the New York Jets just reached out to Rex Grossman.
Oh,
the number two quarterback. Mr. Powell, you know how I feel about Rex Grossman. So when that 19 reaches out to Rex Grossman to be the backup quarterback over Bryce Petty, what does that tell you what they think of Bryce Petty? stop with the nonsense. I know you have a man crush on him. He's a bum right now as a rookie. He's not ready. Will he be good? I have no idea.
You can't call that boy a bum. You can't call that boy a bum.
He's a bum because he's not ready. When you're not ready, you're a bum. I was not ready to be a supervisor my first time to get you on the service. I was a bum. I got fired. And then I learned. Bryce Petty is not ready. He's not ready. He's not ready. He's not ready. Stop. Stop with the blessing in this. Listen. Stop with the man crush. Stop trying to destroy my team. Okay?
Listen. Listen, I'm not a big Petty fan. I just like the way he throw the ball. But the fact of the matter is, I'll let you fully speak. Please stop doing that. That's come on. What's going on with you today? Did I really put something in your plate that you didn't like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you did. He put up the Jets. Well, you know how I get with the Jets.
The fact of the matter is, I'm not the one messing up your season. These linebackers are messed up this season, buddy. Okay? Don't get mad at me because I'm out here cooking. That's what I'm trying to do. Food for thought. Hopefully you can do these dishes. Anything left behind the Jets? I mean, he's out for 6 to 10 weeks. If he stays out for the 6th, it's midway of September, so it's more or less he'll be around like week 1, week 2, possibly week 3 right there. Do you think he could be back in that timetable? Or do you think he served the full 10 and tried to fully heal from this injury? I mean, we've seen people play with injuries around their face, and i.e. One of these injuries happened on the Jets field that I could think of was Anquan Boldin when he got rocked in that game up against the Jets, and he came back and played football. Do you guys think that he should have a shorter timetable or finish out the duration of the full 10 weeks? I'll come to you first, Ron.
It all depends the state of the New York Jets come week 4. If they go out and get shut out, Fitzpatrick, 12 of 35, 3 picks, if it's looking like it all depends. If they 4-1 and everything's running smooth, they'll tell Geno to put some, you know, Robitussin on it and rub it on his jaw and tell him to sit back and watch. It all depends. So that's why we cannot even talk about this until Labor Day weekend. We can't. It all depends how Fitzpatrick is looking in practice and how the team feels after the first 2 games. If Fitzpatrick, if they go up to Indianapolis and Revis and them shut down luck and he gets them, if they 2-0, you won't hit a peak. But then there'll be too much. Let's sign him to extension. Calm down. He's a backup quarterback for a reason. The backup quarterback's always the sexiest guy in town until he has to start. So they just get the surgery done. Stop taking Instagram posts saying I'll be back, okay? And you know, take it as a learning curve. Don't let 6-round picks buy you tickets.
Does anybody want to talk about the timetable that Geno Smith has been set with before he comes back from the broken jaw injury?
I do. Yeah. I think it's about pain tolerance, Ty. Like Ron said, it's about pain tolerance. We know guys that have played with broken jaws. It's all about the pain tolerance. Those of us who've had broken jaws, it's about the pain tolerance and trying to keep your weight up because you can only drink, you only have a liquid diet. So it's about pain tolerance and being able to keep his strength up. So I actually don't know what the timetable is. You know, could be one of those cats that's like, listen, I'm going to play through it.
It's 6 to 10 weeks.
That's projection, but I know guys that have gotten their jaws broken and been back, in, you know, the next week. We've seen it in the NFL. Hell, Jack Del Rio put it on a broken leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. but see, that's the thing, though. We actually have to talk about the healing process. This is not a car part to where you just put something in and, okay, this will work in X amount of time. Every person's situation is different. So maybe he heals faster, maybe he heals slower. But the reality is, can he turn his head? Does he have full range of motion? Can he call out the plays? Can he be really effective as a quarterback? I'm sure he's going to rush getting back because he knows how important this year is for him. But the idea that we're going to figure it out between weeks, man, like that, like he just said, that's just a projection, them throwing out 10 weeks. Everybody is different as far as injuries concerned and healing.
Okay, Nacho, do you have anything that you would like to talk about with the timetable, or does anybody have another topic they'd like to throw out there also?
You know, the big thing with the timetable, and everyone kind of hit a nail on the head, but the last point that he just made was, you know, calling out the plays, audibling and things of that nature. If you can't do that in the league, we've seen it time and time again with the best of the best quarterbacks. If they can't get their message across to even the linemen at the tackle position or anyone else, it's hard for that team to function properly as an offense. So, you know, not only, you know, full range of motion, how he feels coming back, but if he could, you know, stretch that mouth and yell out the instructions without pain and keep it going and be able to do that for an entire game while getting hit, being able to keep yelling with no pain in the jaw or anything, it's going to be hard to tell how long it's going to take him to come back. But I think that's the biggest thing to me, the communication with his offense. You know, most we know most football players will fight through any amount of pain that they most possibly can. But if there's no communication, I think that'll be the biggest downfall if he tries to come back too early.
All right. Anything left to discuss on gangrene?
No. Does Todd Bowles get a mulligan? Because, I mean, we know the history of black coaches and black quarterbacks. You typically get a quick hook. So Todd Bowles out there with that New York media, will he get a mulligan for this year if this turns out to be a disaster that, you know what I mean, that they can't get out of and the year ends up disaster? Do they look at Bowles like, okay, that's one? Is the clock going to start?
I don't feel that's fair. Now, Nas, I don't feel that's fair because that is the true knock that happens to African-American coaches. I really can't say I try to get past it, but I don't want to make that be the cause and effect, but the nature of the business is that's something that they look at. But I don't think it's fair because he's having this melee right now at the beginning of the season. And if they are not successful with either, you know, Fitzpatrick, Grossman, or Petty, I mean, how could you fault him? He didn't think that, you know, a reserve defensive player to take out the starting quarterback, that he didn't project that. He didn't project that, nor could he stop it. It happened in the locker room. He probably was in his office or, you know, doing what he needed to do. So I don't feel it's fair.
No, you're right, but these type of things don't typically happen that year. It happens year two and year three when somebody says,
right,
well, you have a career below 500 record. I mean, are you really confident? And are you really competent to do this job well? And before you know it, you know, the pitchfork's out, man, and you're out of there. So I'm just saying, man, 16 games, if it doesn't go well, it can really hurt you long term.
It all depends if he doesn't show no development on guys he needs to develop. Going in, the quarterback position was a question mark. So going forward, if he's not losing games because he's mismanaging the clock, he's not – you know, this is stuff they look. I was there for the Herm Edwards years when he was getting on Herm for not knowing how many timeouts and all this other crazy nonsense, even though he still was getting them to the playoffs. It all depends how he handles things going forward. If the defense gets exposed, which is his expertise, then you may hear rumblings. So we just got to relax. Relax. Not even the 15th of the month. Relax. Geno hasn't even had surgery yet. That's my new line.
True.
So that's a really good question because the fact of the matter is that black coaches don't have as long a leash as some of the white coaches that get hired the first time. They really don't. Mike Tomlin is the exception. We all understand that. Mike Tomlin is the exception. But they don't get as long a leash. And that's a really good question. Do the Jets stick with Todd Bowles if, you know, this season goes in the tank and then they get rid of Geno and Bryce Petty doesn't pan out? Because you know what? Bryce Petty was drafted on his watch. You understand what I'm saying? Because Mike McKinnon.
You said Tomlin was the exception. How about Marvin Lewis?
Who? Listen, you know,
Marvin Lewis has done great. Don't bring Marvin Lewis up to that franchise before Marvin Lewis? Like, the things Marvin Lewis has done should be commended.
Yeah,
even from them changing their draft strategy from drafting anybody with,
with, you know, red marks on them to now to where they're taking a little discretion. But what Marvin
every time they see the postseason, he's losing first round. He has not gotten out of the first round yet with them.
Andy Dalton ain't getting you out the first round. I don't care who's coaching.
They gave him 100 million reasons on why he needs to get them out of the first round.
And he got as much chance of getting that 100 million as I do. Let's see if he ever gets that 100 million.
Hey, I'm all about bringing Mike Singletary back. Can't win with him. Can't coach him. Bring back Mike Singletary.
Don't want him. Can't live with him.
Yo, that is my clip for life. When kids act up, I don't want to. Can't teach you. When your woman starts acting up, pull out the Mike Singletary. Can't date you. Can't marry you. Can't fuck you that way. I use that ordeal for every aspect of life. When she tell you, I need a real man, can't deal with you. I'm telling you, man, Mike Singletary, how come he don't have a job? Come on now. Don't get me started on
this, man. Mike can't coach. Mike Singletary can't coach other than that one line. But that's a damn good it's a damn good line, but he's horrible in presses. And he's just not the best guy in this day and age, man. If you can't handle your local media, you're not going to be at that job long, like, period. And then Singletary's just been doing, man.
He made Vernon Davis cry, okay? He made Vernon Davis cry. I support that, man. Sit that man in the locker room and said, I'd rather play with 10 players. It gets no realer than that. Okay.
He's brutal, see? And you just the stuff that happened in the kitchen yesterday, they got Gino messed up. Look, so listen, Mike Singletary, man, listen, I'm leaving Carmo alone, man. We play y'all twice a year this season because he's now the linebacker coach in Minnesota. So listen, Mike, I'm not messing with you, man. Listen, it's these dudes, man. Deal with these dudes. Anything left? Oh, say it again?
Vote for Mike Singletary, Republican, man. They should bring him in. The Republicans bring in Mike Singletary. Get some black voters.
look. Can't vote with you. Can't deal with you.
Yo, fellas, I gotta get out the kitchen early. My Yankees are still losing 2-0. I will spread the word. I will shout y'all out on my next podcast. I'll drop that off and keep the kitchen warm, fellas.
Definitely. I'm trying to see if anybody had anything left because I'm trying to shut it down, too. I really don't have much. I had the Tristan Thompson topic, how the Cavs are playing hardball with this situation with Tristan, but I think it's best if I save it for the Thursday basketball show and Flip Saunders and fighting lymphoma. So I think I can save this for Thursday. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. I already got Ron. So, Ron, I'll let you continue to close out before we shut down the show. Anything that you'd like to give them before we head out of here?
Hey, yo, babe. I'm loving the chef. Y'all can hit me up, Masai2K Show on Twitter. We 66,000-7,000, adding every hour. And I only follow less than 2,000. So I drop that knowledge, and I love brothers. I'm supporting the show, and I got y'all. And I will catch y'all later.
Definitely. If you like basketball, come right back here Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. But I don't know if you know about round ball. It's cool if you only know.
Yeah, I just saw Mello at training camp looking fluffy, but I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, save it for Thursday. We got a Knicks fan here. So save it for Thursday. Wait, do you like the Knicks first and foremost?
You didn't see my profile picture, the Knicks fan with the gun to his head. I mean, come on, man. We got
They doubled up. Sports City. They both like the Jets and the Knicks. This is getting critical. Sports City. I'm trying. It's gonna be a lot of plates being thrown around this kitchen, that's for sure. Ron, hold it down. I'll talk to you in a little bit. I'm going to hit you up in a little bit. Nah, thanks for coming through, man. Give me a plug, anything you'd like to, you know, promote or shout out as we shut down the cookout.
Nah, nothing to promo, man. I'm just happy he said Mello looking fluffy, man. Maybe we can make a little hustle deal and get him down here to ATL, and we can have a real scorer on our team to add. So we can throw out one of them garbage deals and get him, man. So I'm hoping for the worst for the Knicks.
Don't do that. You got a Knicks man still here. And the crazy part about it is you got Korver. Korver scores. You don't like Korver?
Y'all can have him. They can have him.
Hey, I'm not a Knicks man. Listen, that's not me. I don't call that home. Look, but I'm not talking no junk. I already know Korver is still chilling. I'm done. I won't say nothing else. I won't. Oh, okay. Nacho, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote. A shout out as we shut down an epic episode here at the Cookout.
Man, awesome episode tonight. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Thanks for letting me come on. It's been a great show. Football talk is just, off the Richter scale of preseason. It's just the preseason. You can't wait till the regular season starts and gets going. Packers, we're going to do what we can, you know, stay out the headlights and headlines and just keep chugging forward. And, you know, hopefully we'll end up in another NFC Championship game and we'll seal the deal this time. Back-to-back MVPs, be on the lookout. The real number 12 going to come through. And just to keep piling on, because I know Chandler deserves it, Blue Jays are up 3-1 on the A's in the bottom of the fifth. So you guys have a good night. Thank you so much.
See, and Chandler, you was up there rooting for Nacho when he was going against me. Look at him coming at you with that talk about to have. See how it all turned around? See how it all flips around? Jesus. Okay. Mr. Knight, I know it's been one epic night for you all across the board. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the lid on the grill here at the Cookout.
Man, it's been a lot of fun tonight, man. Ty, we ain't had this much fun in a minute, man. Nacho, Ron, I forget the other cat's name that came in, Ty, to refresh me, because you know I had a lot of brain injuries.
Nas, his name is Nas.
Nas? Man, Nas, Ty, listen, man, I ain't laughing too much in a while. I'm using it for real. But it's Knight Chandler 7 and on Twitter. Get at me. But man, this has been a really good night. And really, Nacho, you coming for me with the Blue Jays? Really? Okay, I got you. You know what? Man, listen. Somebody, it is what it is, but you know, damn it, Yankees losing too. I can't even say nothing tonight, but that's all right. We'll get them tomorrow.
I can't say this yet. Karma, leave me alone. My twins are struggling. Karma, leave me alone. I'm done. 4CityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Also, people that are continuing to hit us up at 4CityChef.gmail. We actually been seeing more emails, too, so that's cool. They want us to post some of these topics out here. I want y'all to come here, though. Nas came in here and got a dish. He had some fun. He's talking about Cam Newton and all of his Georgia ties with him, man. We do what we do, man. They like what we got going on cooking here in the kitchen, man. Come and get a dish. A lot of food for thought. Hopefully, y'all out there doing them dishes. On that note, wait, before I close out, I will be back here Thursday evening, Crossover Cafe and it up with the usual four. You already know the master chefs in the building. They told me to get my acting gear, so I got a couple of basketball topics. Hopefully, they'll have theirs too. But we're loaded, man. We're back, and we got a lot of stuff going on. Plus, my boys play Thursday, so I'm going to be all over the place. So y'all stay focused. Check us out on Twitter. At Sports City Chef, and also on Facebook with all the Sports City Chef pages. Stay focused. We got it on slate. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, man, this show went down. Now you know.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up. When the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison Florence next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. Cool as the funds were. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me. This is true. All I got is
be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
That's all I got. I'm gone.